Good morning and welcome to Radio Rehab. Your host this morning will be Miss Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warrick County Court Substance Abuse Program. Like all our talk programs, we encourage you to call in to 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. This is a brand new program that we hope you'll definitely enjoy. And now, Radio Rehab with Lisa Seif.
Some teenagers, for them to tell us how it affected their life and how it shaped them to know that they had a mother and father that was alcoholic and their parents' lives spiraling out of control. So these are friends of mine, Aaron, Andy, and their mother Jane with us today to talk about how the alcoholism has affected the family, especially the kids and the mom, watching how it affects the kids. Good morning, you guys.
Good morning, Lise.
Hey, and guess what? Aaron just got his driver's license permit today. Wow. Congratulations. That's big.
Thank you.
So you guys were pretty young when you started to notice that something wasn't right with your parents, right?
Yep. Yeah.
How old were you, Andy?
Probably about 4 when that incident happened with my dad.
What happened?
He got really drunk and started going crazy and said he was going to burn down the house, and we had to get up out of there.
And so you got out?
Mm-hmm.
So after that, was that pretty much how life was there? Just a lot of fear and not knowing what was going to happen?
Yeah.
You were still pretty young, right?
Yeah, I was probably 2 at that point. I don't really remember that much.
You don't remember it then?
No.
So, Andy, at 4, you think children know what's going on?
I don't think they know what's going on. It's just they know something's different. Like, it's not normal human behavior.
Yeah.
It's just not normal.
And you knew that?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know yet, right, Aaron?
No.
You weren't. When did you start noticing something wasn't right?
I was kind of told by Andy, and it was
so your brother?
Yeah, it was nice having an older brother who could kind of, like, help you along and just kind of be there or whatever. It's nice.
So when you're the younger sibling in a family, you really count on the older sibling to take care of you, I guess.
Yeah, they kind of try to take on a role. I don't know.
The boss, huh?
Yeah, they try to be the boss, but it's all right.
So after 4, kind of go through, Andy, when you started noticing it again, and you had said the other night there were periodic times that they were okay.
Yeah. It would just be different occasions. Like, you'd notice if they weren't acting completely normal, it would be something wrong, something was in their system, you know. You just kind of catch on to those hints, I guess.
So how old were you guys when they divorced?
We were 5 and 7.
So did you know then that alcoholism and addiction was breaking up your family?
I think so. Yeah, pretty much. It wasn't normal.
Did you try to say anything? Did children ever think to say anything to their parents? No.
Not really. At that age, it just seemed like we'd let the parents have the wheel, you know?
Mm-hmm. So at what age did you guys start expressing concern?
Actually, just pretty much like a year ago. I mean, that's when we kind of made the big decision with Mom to tell her.
You went to her?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's different, you guys, when it's a mother than when it's a father that's out of control with drinking?
Yeah, because it feels like, or at least for me, it feels like I should protect her. When as if a father was doing it, it would feel like, I don't know, they should be able to do it on themselves, I guess.
So how did you guys finally come to dealing with it? What'd you do?
One night, when I had enough of it, I found her stash and broke the bottles and wrote a note where she would find her stash. Next time she'd go there, she'd read the note and she'd find out.
Did she?
Mm-hmm.
You read the note, Jane?
Yes, I did. It was a moment that I hope I never forget. It was, it broke my heart, and while I knew that this disease had gotten the better of me, it spoke volumes that what I thought I was hiding, I wasn't hiding, and I was hurting the two most precious things in my life. Mm-hmm. So I just, like most alcoholics hopefully say that they hope they never forget their last drunk. It brings them closer to their next drink. I hope I never forget how horrible that felt when I did go, thinking I was hiding, that nobody knew that I had alcohol disguised in a water bottle, and I found that note saying, "Mom, please don't do this."
Wow. So did you notice that he had broke all the bottles too?
No, it wasn't that was the night before. When I found the bottle was a separate day. I mean, the note on the bottle. When he collected all of the bottles, it was an event. Mm. It wasn't a nice evening. It was another plea for Mom, you know, this is it. You can't do this anymore.
So did you hear that a lot from them?
No. They were, you know, I think they were, I mean, I can't speak for them, but I think that they tried to ride the wave as on a regular basis. It would be a new day and get on the wave and see how the day would unfold. I was more of a binge type drinker. Mm-hmm. I didn't drink every day. So when that wave started to become tumultuous, that's when they would be vocal. And or if it were in a car, you know, Mom, mm-hmm. you know, come on, stop. But as most alcoholics think that they're hiding it, and in actuality, the people closest to them know it long before we come to our day of reckoning.
Yeah. Could you tell when she was, there's a saying in the 12-step program called budding, building up to drinking. Could you tell when she was budding?
Yeah, if there were like a sequence of events probably that weren't up to par, like something bad happened at work.
Or stress.
Stress, yeah. I could probably tell that she wouldn't be able to handle it herself, it seemed like. And alcohol would have to take the role.
Mm-hmm. So you knew she was self-medicating,
mm-hmm.
using the alcohol when she was stressed. Did you, Aaron?
Yeah, I realized it. I tried to not, like, I don't know, it was just the way I coped with it was just trying to forget about it, not really make it my problem.
Right.
But, I don't know, it was tough sometimes because you want to say something so bad, but yet you don't want to hurt their feelings. So.
Wow, that's such a hard place for a kid to be, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of put it all under, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no
yeah.
evil. Just pretend it's all okay.
Yeah.
And your mom was functional, so how confusing for you guys that she could keep it together at times. And
it seemed just crazy that she could, just winning awards at work and just excelling. And then
great mask, huh?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So did you ever talk to anybody about it, or did you keep it secret?
It was just between my brother and I.
You never,
never
went to another adult or friend or confided in a friend's parent or...
Never.
Why do you guys think you didn't?
I think we just felt that it was just really uncommon.
Were you embarrassed?
A little bit.
I just did it because I didn't want to do something that was like, that my mom wasn't like in control of. I didn't want to go behind her back and say stuff, but just, I don't know. It's just for her sake, just not like get it out there. Just because I didn't know if she was ready or not, so
it could come back to haunt her.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't want like people to know that she didn't know that new or something like that.
It just is so typical. I mean, for me, hearing their perspective and sitting in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and hearing them verbalize how we all feel this shame and keeping our secret. And part of the freedom of recovery is being able to share that. Because as long as we carry that shame and pack it around, we can't let it go
mm-hmm.
and work on getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to me how that dynamic is in a family, that we all keep our secrets. It's
It's powerful.
It is very powerful, and we are powerless.
Yeah. So did you think that you were really, you know, since you were Superwoman, hiding all of this from your kids? I guess you were hiding it from yourself.
It's so humbling to hear. It's almost freeing to know that, you know, that it wasn't a secret, because you feel like you're having to keep all the balls in the air and juggle everything and still be not be able to get through an everyday stressor without anesthetizing it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, on one hand, I did think that I was being Superwoman, and mm-hmm. In actuality, I couldn't cope.
Do you think a lot of women think that, though, that can work and provide?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the wonderful things that fortunately I was able to find, that a lot of the yets didn't have to happen to me. I didn't have to lose my job. I didn't have to lose my house. I didn't have to get into any legal entanglements, that I didn't have to hit the bottoms that some of the people who went mm-hmm. before me did. That there is a new kind of face in the rooms these days of people who they call them high bottoms, mm-hmm. that we don't have to lose everything and still admit powerlessness, and that we are alcoholic, and there's really no shame in that, that we can get better once we own it.
Well, there's no worse skid row than losing your integrity.
And that's, you know, one of the steps in Alcoholics Anonymous is fourth step, and one of the columns is the resentments. And I think that for this alcoholic, having the greatest resentment against myself of what I imposed on my children is probably one of the greatest sorrows for me.
Do you guys think that she's realizing more the longer she's sober, how much the ripple effect
definitely, yeah,
happened?
She definitely realizes that how much better things can be and how much more fun they can be when she's sober and she knows exactly what everything's going on.
So. I'm glad that she chooses that path over it. I mean, that every day sober is just 10 times better than being drunk and not knowing.
So you guys notice it too?
Oh, yeah. I'm just glad that every day she's
she's available. Yeah. Do you think, Jane, for a lot of women, and maybe you guys could say something about this too, single parenting? Do young people understand what that means to be a single parent? You think, and do you think, Jane, single parents, the stress of that can drive them into some destructive behaviors? I mean, not an excuse, but just the whole single parenting thing.
I think that there's an underlying issue probably that I have to work on, is making sure everything is ideal. And, you know, it's okay if things aren't perfect. But part of the driving force for me was making sure that everything was, at least from an outside appearance, everything looked perfect. And that was one of the... while it may have appeared that on the outside, these boys can tell you from the inside, there was, you know, we were on, you know, our foundation was sand, because mm-hmm. mom couldn't keep it together. I could keep it together for the course of the day, but once I was off work, then I wanted to anesthetize what I sensed as my failures.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys, do you think, how old are you?
17.
How old are you, Aaron?
I'm 15.
Do you think boys at home realize when they have a single mom the hard work that
definitely
is?
Definitely more stress, because at that point we were still relying on her for most of the rides, and we were involved in lots of things like sports and stuff. And I mean, it was tough because she would get off work and maybe my basketball practice wouldn't start till like 7 or something. I was just kind of nervous.
Wondering if she
wondering if she was
been
drinking or not. But
jeez.
Scary.
Yeah. You too, Andy.
And her as a single parent, I know she works so hard every single day, and she's got so many things to, like, keep track of.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, I mean, I can see how you could slip into that, just, like, having to numb it all.
Well, how awesome of you guys to be sensitive to that. Do you think most kids are when they're being raised by a single parent? Do you think kids are smarter than we give them credit for?
I think if I'm, like, between my mom and my brother and I feel like we're a lot closer than a lot of single parent, like, families, I guess. And I think a lot of kids, because I know a lot of kids who have single parent families, and they're not close at all with their parents. They've already kind of checked out of the family, like, stage, I guess. And but I feel like we know, like, what mom goes through every day, like, at work and having to get groceries and just daily tasks. And
that's incredible maturity and sensitivity. Wow. Well, you guys, don't go away in the tri-state. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Don't hesitate to call. I think these guys would answer any questions you have. Jane would, too. They're very open and candid. So don't hesitate to call if you want to. 424-1400. We'll be back right after break.
Hey, you. Yeah, you listening to the radio. It's me again. Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
I thought I would do that too.
They're peers. Is there a caller there? No. Are we back on air? I guess we're back on air, you guys. Is there a caller? It's weird. Maybe we're back on air. Usually the song. Wait. Yeah, we're on air. Okay, we're back. Hi, everybody. Sorry about that. I got caught up in talking. That's hard to believe. So I wasn't sure if we were back on air or not. We're visiting with Jane and Aaron and Andy and just talking about how alcoholism affects the family, how single parenting affects the family. This is an incredible family. These guys are so awesome. And if any of you have questions, I'm sure they would be available to talk to you. Even if you don't want to call on the radio, you call us after the show, and I'll be sure and get the questions to them if there's any kids listening. So anyway, welcome back. You guys, before break, we were just talking about single parenting and alcoholism, and you guys obviously are sensitive to the reality of what it takes to survive with the economy and everything going on today in a single parent. I wondered if you guys could say something, too, about just, do you think kids that have been exposed to this kind of family life, if you will, make different choices themselves around drinking or using drugs?
Yeah, definitely. I think it just leaves a bad taste in their mouth, and they don't even want to get involved in it or experiment with it just because they know that's eventually what's going to lead to, and they don't even want to get involved with that kind of stuff.
So when you see peers go out and make those choices around alcohol or drugs, what do you say to yourself in your own head?
To me, it just feels like total immaturity. I mean, I think that kids at that stage, I mean, they just don't know, like, you know, what it's going to lead to, and
they probably haven't experienced
an
alcoholic in the family, and that would definitely push you away from it just to see, like, how it affects everybody. And most of the time they don't realize it affects everybody in the family, not just the person who's doing it.
That's true.
That's a huge piece that while you're actively using, you think you're the only one. I'll show you, I'll hurt me. Mm-hmm. However, the reality is, what Aaron just touched on, is that it's a tornado that reeks through that dwelling. It touches everyone's life. The alcoholism touches everyone's lives that they have a relationship with, really, and most intimately for this family, my children. The havoc that it wreaked on their lives, the uncertainty, the not knowing, the fear. Mm-hmm. And in my recovery, Andy's been able to allude to moments, do you remember? And what that must have felt like as a child, not knowing if I would have a recollection of what happened the night before. I mean, that's...
Robs them of a security kids mm-hmm. need, no doubt about mm-hmm. it.
And a dependability factor.
Yeah.
And, you know, while I might have committed to doing any number of things, would I remember that I had that commitment? Would I be able to be simply present more so than physically? Mm-hmm. I mean, I could be there physically, but would I remember that I was there? Probably not.
Wow. And them not being able to count on you
sure.
because of that.
Sure.
So now that your mother's sober, you know, some kids say, God, now that they're sober, they're up our butts 24/7, you know. Doesn't she have something better to do? Do you guys, I know you celebrate the success of her recovery. Has it been different to have her present and available and
just... So much better.
So you like it?
Yeah, it feels like so much stress has been taken off my back because it feels like that I have to always keep track of my brother. I mean, I know he gets mad that I act like a parent or whatever, mm-hmm. but it feels like it's my responsibility and I've got stuff to keep track of, but mom's there for us.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty typical for the oldest child to kind of become a surrogate spouse mm-hmm. where they want to help manage the family.
Yeah.
So now you've got a reprieve from that, huh? She's sober so she can take back over the job.
Yeah.
And your brother wants to remind you on a regular basis that it's
he just
not
needs
your
to
job.
Let it go and just let her take care of it now. I
yeah.
think.
But you know, Aaron, it seems like you appreciate and really value that he...
I like it. He means he just cares.
Sure. Sure. You guys are awesome. What would you say to young people? What could they do if they know a mother or father is... over drinking or drugging?
Just get the word out as fast as possible, because for us it seemed like if you let it fly under the radar, it would just get worse and you would just have to keep on going through like the pain and struggle.
But, and it does get worse if you just let it go on and on, just it'll get worse. So as soon as you realize it, don't be afraid to say anything to them, because I'm sure that they don't like keeping secrets either. It's not good for them, so just let them know.
And no matter how much pain you might feel bad about whatever you're saying to your parent, but, I mean, you have to give them that kind of tough love. Because just from ever since that we had that little breakthrough with Mom, I mean, it's just been great ever since, because she's just been doing positive things and just getting off of that.
Wow, and to think that your note was the turning point for her. I, the other night you said you wished you'd have wrote it earlier.
Yeah. I'm just glad it hit a note with her, because, I mean, it felt like just a small thing that I was doing, but it made a huge impact on her.
Do you think it would help for kids to put it in writing rather than say it? Did you guys ever say you were upset with her drinking and straight up?
Yeah, we had said it before, but
that
every
letter,
situation is different. I don't think
yeah.
that it could be different for every parent, because if you write a note and like the parent's like is not sober and is like drunk or whatever on drugs or whatever, when they read that note, they could just think
go
not
into
twice
a rage.
And just throw it away and mm-hmm. not even worry about it. So it could not work for everybody, but hopefully it worked for.
I just get the most ways possible and talk to them, write notes,
mm-hmm.
just try to get that idea coming across just constantly.
And sometimes, you know, the reality is it takes more than one suggestion.
Absolutely.
I can think of several times, several moments of clarity that didn't stick. Because the idea was always floating in my brain that this is getting the better of me. And I would think, you know, you need to do something about this, and then by the next morning, that moment was gone. So one effort of intervention sometimes
had
isn't
to be
sufficient.
Continual. And it sounds like there were times that there was intervention with you, Jane, and you stopped for a period. And then you thought, I must not be an alcoholic because I can quit.
I can. Yeah, so. And abstinence alone for this alcoholic wasn't. It was really just dry knuckling, white knuckling, holding on, because just being abstinent wasn't complete for me. It was truly having to surrender and turn it over to something bigger than me.
What finally got to you then? Their notes and seeing the pain in their eyes. But what do you think for a mom that really was a turning point for you?
It was a compilation of things that got me to my first meeting. However, when they came home from school that day after I'd been to my second meeting on my first day of sobriety and told them what I was doing, that was another moment I'll never forget, the absolute sense of relief and exhale that was almost on cue when I told them what I had done that day.
And how'd you know to go to Alcoholics Anonymous?
Because I have been around the block, and I know, oddly enough, in the 80s before I moved to Alaska, before they were even an idea, I worked in chemical dependency as a nurse.
Wow.
So,
oh my.
So I've known about Alcoholics Anonymous for most of my adult life, and I know that Alcoholics Anonymous has saved so many people's lives and put them on the road to a healthy life. But that was a moment that I hope I will always keep very close to my heart, the relief that they felt, knowing that I was going to make an active, concerted effort to get better.
And you have. And the whole family's better off. So, would you guys know now in her sobriety if something was going on that you could go and talk to her and have dialogue? You wouldn't have to hide it? Or...
Oh, yeah. I know that she'd understand. Like, she's not just got a clear mind. And
yeah.
She can help us out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and, like, it's important for kids out there who have parents who are maybe alcoholics or drug addicts, just... You can't, like, if they go to their first meeting, and make sure you're excited for them and just happy that they're doing something, like being a part of something, because you could be one of those kids who's just, like, embarrassed that you have someone who's going to Alcoholics Anonymous or whatever, but it's not like that at all. It's definitely be glad for them.
I mean, it's hard for them, just support as much as possible, because those first couple weeks or months, I guess, it's probably hard on them. Give it as much positive reinforcement as possible.
What a great message to end on. What you're saying is don't let them be embarrassed about trying to get well.
Make sure they feel comfortable and know that you're comfortable with it. Like,
celebrate.
You're not embarrassed. Like, me and Andy have both been to meetings with my mom. And it's nice to be there and, like, know that everybody respects and likes it, you know.
So all you kids out there, support your parents that are trying
definitely.
To get better. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed about it.
Because your
great
parents
thought.
Might be ashamed.
Absolutely.
Or whatever, because they don't think that you, like, are comfortable with it, and just make sure they're comfortable, you know.
Great thought. In closing, is there anything you all want to say? We'll just go around and Aaron, Jane, then Andy.
Just if you know what's going on in your family, just try and get the point across as soon as possible. Just don't let it linger. As fast as possible is the best.
Great.
For me, it's still being relatively new in my sobriety is just trying to carry the message and live what it has been so freely given to me, and staying sober one more day is my gift that I can give back and try to repair some of the damage that I've done. Is just staying sober today.
Wow.
If you guys are out there with the same problem as us, I mean, just all the kids, just try to get that point across. Just get the ball rolling, because once once they make the conscious effort to, like, change their lifestyle, they'll do it. And, I mean, there's nothing you can do other than get the idea across. And once they make, once they want to help themselves, that's when everything will be good.
Well, it sounds like you're all saying get rid of the secrets.
Yes.
Get in the living room, talk about it, support each other, and hold hands and do it.
They have to want it.
Right. What a great way to end, especially going into Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
And remembering a lot of people that didn't make it to this point. So lots of gratitude coming out of Radio Rehab today. Thanks you all very much for sharing, being honest. Will you come back?
If you want to see,
I want you to come back and talk to us a little more about divorce and how that affects kids too.
Sure.
Definitely. You two had a whammy of divorce and alcoholism. Wow. And Jane, thanks for all you do in the
recovery
community.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Carrying your message.
Keeps us mindful of what we're here for. So.
Absolutely. Well, you guys, we'll be back next week. You can get on www.lisasifcares.net and hear them on the World Wide Web next week. And any questions, please call here at the pump. They will be available by writing or phone to answer any of your questions. Until we talk to you next week, don't forget to do the next right thing.